If your brain is at full capacity with to-dos, birthdays, dinner plans, meet Skylight Calendar. It syncs your entire family's schedule onto a sleek digital display, so you focus on important things, like where you left your coffee. Right now, Skylight is offering our listeners $30 off their 15-inch calendars by going to skylightcal.com/talk. Go to skylightcal.com/talk for $30 off your 15-inch calendar. That's skylightcal.com/talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Do We Know Them? Episode 208, our first episode of the new year. We are in 2025.
How is that possible?
I don't know. All the numbers just sound very large at this point, and I've kind of zoned out about it.
I just saw a video where someone was interviewing people on the street. It was like they were interviewing like younger people. And they were like, what year did you have to be born in to be considered old?
No. What'd they say?
2000.
2000 to be considered old?
Yeah.
Jesus. What is it? That's only 24.
I was like,
or 25.
Oh, well, what about 1990? In my brain, that's not as long ago as it actually is. Like, I'm just like, oh, this is 20 years ago.
Yeah, I always realize when people are showing like vintage items and they're like, this is vintage from 1999. And I'm like, that's not vintage. That's when I was like 7 years old. Well, can't be vintage.
The difference is also, I think there was such a drastic change in like how things were made and like technology and stuff from like when our parents were younger to now that like the vintage stuff to us looks really old because it's like just like from a different time.
Yeah.
I feel like stuff from like the late 90s to the 2000s, it's like, yeah, it looks older, like you could tell, but it doesn't look like vintage because it still seems like it's the same kind of like.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we're old, but that wasn't the point. It was to wish you a new year.
Anyway, happy 2024.
Whatever that is. I know that 2024, and I feel like every year is kind of rough for some people out there. So if last year was rough on you, I hope 2025 is better. And if it was a great year last year, I hope this year's just as great. And I think we're going to slay really hard. I don't know.
Feel it. 2024 was the best year I had had in a while. I feel like from 2019 to 2024 was like a rough patch.
Yeah. Oh, that's a long rough patch. But no, yeah.
You know those TikToks where it's like someone sitting, it's like first it shows them on the couch and the caption says like 2019 and it's like them with friends or like hanging out and they're all happy. And then all of a sudden it cuts really hard to 2020 through 2024 and it's just them being like zoned out.
No.
Like,
it's so by your side.
Oh, I relate so hard to those ones.
That's kind of depressing.
I know.
I feel like the 2020s have been just rough fucking years. Like, it feels like a fever dream. I think because it started out with the pandemic and then it just, you know, snowballed from there and everybody just tried to acclimate themselves after it. Well, and it's just been weird.
Because it didn't really end. It just kind of like was like, okay.
I know. I can't think about it too much. It freaks me out. Like, I don't understand how anything works or how everyone's just back to normal.
Well,
I guess,
like, do you remember 2019 was when I was going to have my birthday? Or I guess was it 20? It would have been 2020 because I was turning 30. My birthday.
Oh, yeah. Like literally right before.
Yeah. And I had like booked out a big property in Joshua Tree. And there was like 10 of us that were going, maybe even more.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came up on Christmas because I had bought everyone like, I don't remember what the brand is. It's like the Comfy or something. It's those giant sweatshirts that are like blanket sweatshirts kind of.
Oh,
they're really great. But I bought everyone like red plaid ones and I was going to like give everyone matching ones for the trip because it was Joshua Tree gets cold at night. And then we didn't go because COVID happened and it was like, okay, I guess I have to cancel. And then I just had all these fucking sweatshirts and they're like huge. So I'm like shoved them in my closet and stuff. And then when I moved, my mom took some of them because I had like given a few away to other people, but like I could have just given it to the people that were going to go, but like not everyone lived in the same area. And it was just like, I was waiting for it to eventually like do another trip, but I ended up giving a few away and then I just still had a bunch. So my mom's husband just gave them to his grandkids. I'm like thinking how everyone's related.
For Christmas?
Yeah, because they found it. Holy because shit. There was like four of them still in his trailer because I have a bunch of my old furniture stored in there. And he was like, what are these? And my mom's like, I don't remember, but Lily bought them and doesn't want them anymore. I'm like, sure, oh my God. Take them. Well, anyway, sorry
I'm
for
sure
that tangent.
They'll love it.
Yeah, they did. They sent pictures. I was
there
like,
you go.
Glad someone's getting enjoyment out of them.
I was supposed to go on that trip, right?
Yeah. That was like before you had Amelie, I think.
Well, where the fuck's my blanket?
Well, could go wrestle it away from my...
I want it back.
No, honestly, it's like so heavy and like they're super comfy, but I put it on for like 10 minutes and it was like, it's really hot.
Oh, really? Is it like a Snuggie?
Kind of, thicker. It's like literally a blanket, but in a sweatshirt form.
Okay, well, we better move it along. Oh, hi, Mark is typing as we speak and she's pissed. So,
hi, girly.
We have a few tentative topics here. We have one that we definitely want to cover, and then I think we'll see where we go after that. But the number one topic that we kind of wanted to get to, because it's already happened, and like we haven't covered it because we've been covering other stuff, so we're like, let's just cover this because we've been following this so closely, is the Brianna Chicken Fry and Grace situation.
Yes. I think I did include like a little update at the end of our episode about it where I included Grace's stand-up routine where she acknowledges it and she's like, I'm going through a divorce, and just makes light of it but doesn't really address it too specifically.
Oh, yes. I'll start with, sorry if I'm not myself tonight, I'm going through a divorce. It's a very common type of divorce with just a few minor differences. For example, it's not a marriage, it was a 15-year friendship. She's not keeping the house, she's keeping the podcast. And when it came to the kids, we took a very progressive approach. Instead of doing shared custody, we're letting the kids decide who they want to go with. I'm just kind of bottling my emotions and picking up the bottle, so. Full truck, let's go, boys. Yeah. Woo! Woo! You didn't know it was going to be an interactive show, did you?
I know that Brie has, for some godforsaken reason, I don't know why you would continue to talk about it after how poorly that last situation went, but alas, she has kept talking about it. And apparently it's just very much like everyone hates her, everyone's just piling on and no one understands and they're just haters. But meanwhile, Grace has been thriving, it seems like. She ended up leaving Barstool. So she posted this Instagram story and it says, I wanted you guys to hear from me first that this is my last day at Barstool. I'm so grateful to everyone at the company and to Dave for taking a chance on me. I'm just as surprised as you are that there are no typos in this statement. And it's like her posing under the Barstool Sports sign. Which, I mean, I would imagine it would have been a little awkward to stay. Right.
Well, I thought that when we were covering it, when Dave repeatedly was like, no, like there's a spot here for Grace amidst Brie, like absolutely shitting all over her for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I did think that was weird. I was like, I mean, good for him, like not firing her over this because that would have been a whole other mess. But then she just left and I was like, oh.
Okay, well, and I guess like, yeah, she could have done a podcast, but like speaking as someone who has worked for a company, if you don't have to work for the company and you could do it like on your own or like without having the strings attached, because I'm sure they're on salary. Usually you don't work for 100%. A company and it's like, oh yeah, if the episode does well, then you get more money. No, you get the same amount of money.
Yeah, which is why I'm curious about her deal that she ended up signing with Alex Cooper's company, or what is it? Like a podcast company, Unwell?
Yeah, I wish I knew more about it. I know it's like a network. I don't think it's as
like a podco.
I don't think so. Like I can't imagine that was a very good setup. I think it's less of like a company that like she would be a salaried employee and more like they produce it and take a percentage. But like I think she probably gets more ownership of it if it's with that rather than it being like Barstool's IP.
Yeah, so she posted that.
Then Alex Cooper posted a story where she's basically like dancing and making faces and it's a screenshot of her call log and it's like a 45-minute phone call with Grace or something.
Yeah, I would be so curious to know what she signed that deal for because like Alex Cooper doesn't do little things, right? Like she's like filthy rich.
She knows that she could capitalize on the situation and just like, it's so messy. But also I saw everyone being like,
do you know if she has beef with Dave Portnoy, Alex Cooper?
No, they're friendly.
Oh, okay. Cause like, I know she used to, like she started Call Her Daddy with Sophia at Barstool.
So the whole thing with them, I guess she got the opportunity to wait a year and then she could own the IP to the show Call Her Daddy. And Dave, I think, was willing to like let her take that because she built it, which I have to say, I don't love Dave Portnoy, but that's
a good
respectful
move,
that he did that.
I was offered to keep an IP that was worth millions of dollars. And Dave Portnoy looked me in the eye and said, you will be a multimillionaire. Yeah.
Right.
He said, you'll be a multimillionaire if you just wait 1 year and I will hand you the IP. I was like, say no more. We're chilling. So I think The disagreement over an IP is something that any creator that's in the audience or listening, like, you have to fight for it, because I'm on this stage because I was like, I know what I put into this brand. I know the amount of time that I put into this brand. Every single Instagram caption, every single post, I still do to this day. I don't have an intern that does it for me. The brand's voice is so my own. And I knew that the minute that I would hand that over, it would lose the authenticity that once was the beginning of why everyone was so attracted to it. So that to me is important. No matter how much money, Forbes, whatever happens, like, I am going to always be the sole creator of Call Her Daddy and be the voice of it.
And I guess I think it was that, or like take a different contract or something, or like maybe get more money right then, but like not in the long term. Like, it wasn't a good business decision to just like let Barstool have it, obviously. And for whatever reason, there was like a conflict between her and Sophia that they didn't want to do the same thing. And she very much wanted to wait it out, get the IP, and then figure it out from there. And figure it out she did, because now she's signed, like, I think the Spotify deal she did was like 125 million. I think she's with SiriusXM now, isn't she?
Yeah. No, I think that was the 125 million one.
Oh, I don't know which one came first, but I also know that she negotiated the deal, so it's like she's exclusive to them, like she can't upload anywhere else during the terms of the contract, and they can like put the content, whatever, they can use it, but then as soon as it's up, she owns it all again and she can put it on another platform and it goes off of that one.
That's good.
I look at the catalog already, right? I have 100 something episodes, and that's incredible. That's essentially, I have many, many TV shows. And I also know it's worth a lot of freaking money once I want to sell that catalog.
You own all the, that's very unusual. Yeah. You do own all the IP.
I own the entire thing, and I'm only licensing it to Spotify. So after 3 years, I can either relicense it or sell it, or I don't know.
I will say I've thought about it before, if like we were not going to happen. I mean, we've spoken to Spotify on the phone once, okay? We're not super small time. No, but seriously, like, I don't know what I would do if someone approached us and was like, hey, we want to pay you an exorbitant amount of money, but you can only post on our platform. Even if it was a Spotify, I would be like, no.
Well, especially because ours is so heavily like on YouTube. I think it's on less YouTube, yeah, of a thing for her, because I think it was original. Well, now it's pretty video driven though. I don't know.
Yeah. And like Spotify does do video.
I guess if you think your audience is loyal enough that they're going to just follow you wherever.
That's the thing. You're banking on the fact that like people will follow you wherever you go. And it's not even that I don't think that some people would actually switch platforms. It's that I wouldn't want to make them do that.
Like, well, that like, and like, how do they like, not that we are getting like tons of new subscribers every month, but like, I feel like the discoverability is less.
The algorithm
stuff like
is
that.
Way yeah. different. Yeah. I think that you would still bank on the same type of things. Like with Call Her Daddy, I remember when all of the Love Island US people, mm-hmm. like she was interviewing Rob and Leah, and that got viral on TikTok. And that drove even me to go to her Spotify and then watch it when I never watched that show.
Yeah.
Not for like any other reason than I'm not going to go on Spotify to watch a show. Like, yeah. Sorry.
No, I've definitely, like, for certain celebrity interviews that have gone viral, absolutely, I want to see more of it.
I think that's what it is. She's like relying on the fact that she's interviewing so many celebrities and interesting guests that it's gonna go viral, like clips of it, and then people will want to go watch. But yeah. That being said, she has a huge regular fan base too that's like tuning into every episode. But
yeah, well, and then also, I mean, one just thing, and the reason because I just watched an interview with her recently where she's talking about the whole like waiting out the IP and how valuable that is. And it's that not only do you have like future viewers that are going to come watch there, but you have the library of content. So she's like, I had hundreds of episodes. That's worth a lot of money. Like even our stuff, if we sold it to like, I mean, I don't know who would want to buy it, but like you could sell it to like a TV network and they could put it on their app or something. When you think of like the consistency that YouTubers and influencers can get on content, it's like actually very valuable to drive people over to the app or just like have something that isn't necessarily the same. And it's still so much cheaper than buying like an actual TV show.
Yeah. Well, we got a little sidetracked there, actually.
Anyway,
sorry.
But yeah, back to Grace.
We were talking about Brianna and Grace.
Yes.
But Grace is now working with Alex Cooper. So that's a reminder of why we went on that little journey. Okay.
Yes.
Anyway, Dave Portnoy then posted this to Twitter, which, why are we posting videos to Twitter? There's no need.
I just
don't make me go on that app.
All right, walk and talk, emergency walk and talk. Everybody knows Grace quit yesterday. I'm still getting DMs from people and be like, Dave, you f***ing fired her. You're a scumbag for picking sides. People saying her message was subliminal, like she was really forced out. People are f***ing nuts. People posting pictures of my ex f***ing wife online, being like, she looks like
us.
Becca was one of the main people to do that too.
Oopsie poopsie. Sorry about that.
But it was
interesting. Let him explain why we did that. Okay, it was relevant, it felt like.
Being like, she looks like Bree, so Dave's in love with Bree. It's f***ing crazy.
Okay.
Wait,
pause. Because there's more context to that. Because it's not just that they happen to look alike. It's that he has been fiercely defending Bree and like really just like he is number one like supporter over there, to the point that I included in the update, I'm pretty sure, that he fired one of his employees because the employee called her a fraud. He like didn't even know the context of why he said it, which was also because she's suddenly a huge Taylor Swift fan, so he claims he didn't know the context, but I feel like that could have made it worse for him. But I guess he didn't even call, he texted this employee and was like cussing him out, calling him all of these names, and fired him. And then the guy called him 5 minutes later because he was like, what just happened? Like, are you joking? And then they like talked it out and now they're fine. But even still, like, he was on a podcast afterwards with the guy talking about it, and he was like kind of still defending even the firing him. He's like, well, it wasn't really firing you. And it's like, it kind of feels like it was.
You can't just like pretend fire someone when you're
literally
the, like, boss.
Where is the HR department? Which ironically comes into play because Whitney Cummings, who Grace has been on tour with for like the last year, also just posted, not just, it's like a couple weeks ago now, but posted an Instagram story or TikTok where it's like, so where's Barstool's HR department? And it's like, yeah, really though. Like, the boss talking about Grace, and like, he wasn't shit talking her, Bree was, but like,
it's hard to remember that he is the boss.
Yeah.
It is very, very hard to remember that because he's so not boss-like in the way that he carries himself.
Totally get both sides. If I was a lawyer, and you said, Dave, you have to go to court and you got to argue for Bree or for O'Malley, I think I can make a compelling case for each of them why they're in the right. I honestly do. I get both sides. I've said that from day one. But I don't know what people want Barstool to do. You have two friends, 20 years, both employees, who ended up f***ing hating each other. So,
well, that
sucks.
Nice.
It's probably for the best that O'Malley goes on her way, and who knows with Bree. But, I mean, I don't know why the internet all hates one person versus the other. To me, like, let them both f***ing live their lives and be happy.
Okay.
Okay, Bree first, though, because that seems like once Grace started living her life, that's when things went to shit. But also not him confirming that they
despise
quote,
each other.
Fucking
I mean,
hate each other.
At this point. But also, he does go on to say that he could have been a dick in that situation because Grace had signed like exclusivity rights, which usually with companies like Barstool, if you just quit like that, you're not going to be able to just go work for a competitor like Unwell right away.
It's not that you couldn't do that. I mean, at least in California, I know like non-competes are like not really real. Like, you can't be like, you can't work somewhere.
My stepdad, when he stopped work, he quit his job. Like, they literally got up. It was this whole dramatic thing. They left and they had to move to New York to be able to work for a different company for like a year.
And see, I don't know what the New York situation law-wise is, but I know in California, everyone says that non-competes are like not real.
I don't know. But he was saying basically that he could have been a dick and enforced it and not allowed her to go to Unwell. So I guess he might
I don't
have
know
the power to do
how
that.
Much that is possible, but I know like if she did break her contract, they could like fine her or like not.
I don't know.
There's definitely legalities there, and I'm sure he maybe could have done stuff, but I also think he's like now probably panicking. He put all of his money on Bree. Like, that's the horse he bet on. And it's like, ooh. Like, I saw someone make a video on TikTok where it was like, why Barstool is gonna go bankrupt? A bit of an exaggeration,
so.
Obviously. But it was basically saying, like, Alex Cooper, for example, with the huge, like, Spotify is paying her however many hundreds of millions of dollars because they know that she's gonna bring in that revenue. Like, they're gonna get a return on their investment. Bree doesn't have a whole lot to offer because a lot of the headlines and the reason she's gotten so much traffic over the last couple years is because of her show with her friend. Now that she's alone and everyone doesn't like her, it's like, okay, what's she gonna do next?
Yeah, I think people are forgetting though that Barstool's like origin is not around BFF podcasts. Like,
oh, no.
I don't very much have a huge audience of primarily men that come and consume that website. I dated a guy that was like obsessed with Barstool Sports, like every single day he'd
red
check
flag.
It. And I think that there's a lot of people that consume it for a different reason than to go watch their YouTube channel. So Bree or not, they'll be fine.
Well, no, for sure. And I don't think that they're going bankrupt by any means. But what the guy was saying is it seems like because Brie turned down allegedly the $12 million from Zach Bryan, that it was like Dave kind of not convinced her to do it, but kind of was like, don't worry, like you're going to be good here. But then they pointed out that what the issue is there's been employees at Barstool that bring in a lot of traffic, that get a lot of money for the company. But it seems like Brie is getting kind of special treatment and favoritism and is now living in a $13,000 a month apartment. And everyone's like,
the fuck?
Oh, you haven't
seen
it?
Insane.
It literally, she is an apartment in New York with like a rooftop, two different terraces. It's like gorgeous.
The elevator opens up to the kitchen, which we love. This is dining area. This is my first terrace, which is amazing. Love. I specifically got this place because there's so much outdoor space for Boston. I love the kitchen. I don't know, lights on. I'm like learning. Whoa. Stairs, and then this is a closet. Washer and dryer, and then this is the first bathroom. This is the living room, and look at all of that light. Room, there's like a built-in desk. That's a Murphy bed. We're going upstairs. I never thought I would have stairs in a New York City apartment. My roof. I forgot. I have a roof too, a private roof. All right, this is my closet. This is going to be my bedroom.
And it's $13,000 a month, apparently. So the guy was like, then a bunch of other Barstool employees are probably going to see that and be like, how much money is she making? Like, what do you mean? I'm not looking at their living situation being like, how did this happen? And she isn't probably bringing in, I mean, during the controversies and stuff, yes, I'm sure she's bringing in a ton of money. But like, otherwise, she doesn't seem to have the value that has been kind of placed on her, it seems like. And they're saying that that's going to cause, and it seems to already, because that other guy was talking about it that got temporarily fired, that it's causing some turmoil within the office because people are like, what the fuck? Why is she getting all this stuff? And she like doesn't even do anything, basically, which I'm not saying she doesn't do anything, but
that was the sentiment. Yeah, I don't know. And I'm curious to see where the podcast itself goes, because this, what we're about to watch, is supposedly Dave's last episode.
Which I kind of feel like isn't true.
I mean, I don't fucking know. At this point, I don't really care.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to watch a little bit of this episode because, of course, it wasn't enough to shit on Grace for 45 minutes. They need to come back.
That's why I said, I'm like, I don't understand how she thinks this is a good idea.
This whole episode, I think, personally, because they talk about it a lot in this episode, was prompted because Tana Mojo made a TikTok defending Grace. But can you really? I mean, I guess it was defending, but it's also just her lip syncing to a song with the caption, Brianna Chicken Fry Be Like. And it's a Taylor Swift lyric that says, I didn't have it in myself to go with Grace.
And that's like, the thing is like, I don't think that, I think I even saw something from Tana afterwards where it's like, I don't think she wasn't defending Grace, but it's also like, it wasn't supposed to be like,
literally look at the caption.
Team Grace. She goes, I'm just joking.
I was just listening to the song.
I think she just thought it was funny.
For the love of God.
Yeah.
Honestly though, this pissed them off, especially Brie. She was pissed off.
Because they like have like hung out a very decent amount. I saw a picture when I was pulling assets for that last episode where they're like literally like touching tongues.
Ew. Okay.
It was disturbing. But like to have the whole internet and then also people that you considered friends are also siding with Grace, allegedly. But also I'm like, yeah, maybe do some self-reflecting.
And not an important fact, but something I just noticed. They're on episode 203. They were like neck and neck with BFFs on the amount of episodes we've put up.
I remember because when they first started, I used to get so annoyed. So I said they had like a producer or someone print out like what they were going to talk about. And they'd be like flipping through these fucking papers. But then all the things that they would say, it would be like them reading facts off. But like it was about people they knew and were friends with. And I'm like, you didn't need to read. You knew that. It's just a little pointless.
I don't remember that.
Oh, God.
I do not remember that. But anyway, we're going to go through this episode. Just a few clips so that you can get the gist of it. Because at this point, we've kept up with it. So might as well continue. But I don't want to dwell on it for too long because there's only so long I can watch Brianna Chicken Fry just have a pity party. I mean, really.
Holidays, everybody. We're all like, everyone's feeling so great.
Right.
We've kind of just been in like turmoil, I guess, for the last 2 weeks. And I just posted a video. It's like I did a walk and talk, and I tried to summarize the
okay,
Brie Barstool Grace situation as fairly as I thought I could. Mm. I asked Brie, I'm like, what'd you think? She was, she's like, it was all right. It's like, there's no win on this story. I don't even know what, like, whether we should really.
There's no win on
talking
it.
About
yeah,
it.
It's like, it's just us
without
talking
Grace
about
here.
It.
Brie's like, I don't like the part where you said we both have sides. I'm not a big fan of that.
Literally.
That was not great. Hey, if I had one note, it would just be that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's no point.
And she doesn't want to. I last week, like, I get.
He looks so stressed.
And I felt it. It's like we had the 30 minutes, no Grace. And I could see how, from an outside perspective, like, that's bullshit. She's not there. I think we all talked about it.
Yeah.
At the same time, we had to talk about it. It's all anyone wanted to talk about. So what are we supposed to do? Pretend it doesn't exist? And I, you know, emotions are all highs.
Brutal. Like last week before the episode, I texted, I didn't want
to. I mean, you don't have to pretend it doesn't exist. It just didn't need to be what it was.
You didn't need to have an entire episode dissecting it and letting Bree just like unload all of her.
Yeah. And this isn't shot live where it's shot live, but it's not uploaded live.
No.
So they could have easily edited out the really, really harsh fucking things that Brianna said. There was no need for that to air. Like, okay, sometimes you vent a little bit too much on camera, you get too comfortable, whatever. You didn't need to put that out there knowing Grace was gonna see it.
And the fact that that fucking other girl was in it.
That was completely was like, just oh my god, wrench.
I like, could not why? Feel more secondhand discomfort. Like, what would you do if you were in that situation? I just feel like, holy shit, why am I here? I would get up.
I don't know.
But also, they keep being like, he didn't say this right now, but he's said it before, that like, we invited Grace on to come talk to me and Josh. Like, I don't know why she didn't want to. No shit, she didn't want to. Are you kidding? Why would she do that? Like, that is no benefit for her.
And Josh being there, he would have just been on Brianna's side. And then Dave would have just been a mess if she had come. It just, that would have not.
Don't act
well.
Like that would have been a productive conversation. That was not a positive opportunity for her. Why would she do that? And they're like, well, we offered.
Before we continue, we really quickly want to thank today's sponsor, and that's Lumi.
If you're unfamiliar, Lumi is a whole body deodorant, which is clinically proven to block and control odor for up to 72 hours.
And it's safe to use anywhere on your body, your boobs, your armpits, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, feet, anywhere. Okay, if it's on your body, you could use it there.
And our personal favorite are the deodorant wipes. You can give yourself a nice little refresh after you work out.
And Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers because it comes with a solid stick deodorant, a cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like a mini body wash, and the deodorant wipes. And then you also get free shipping on that.
So if you want to try Lumi, we have a special offer for our listeners where you get 15% off all Lumi products when you use the code DOWENOW. And when you combine that with the already discounted starter pack, that is up to 40% off.
Again, that's code DOWENOW for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's LumiDeodorant.com.
And also be sure to tell them that it was the girlies who sent you, because it really helps us out.
And thank you so much to Lumi for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast. He also gets upset because people are comparing this situation, I guess, to the call her daddy situation, like Sophia and Alex, pretty sure.
Which is different, but I think it's just because of the Barstool thing, because I don't think they were like friends. They were like coworkers. And it was over like a contractual agreement. It wasn't like they had like a personal
disagreement. A 20-year friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want behind. A lot of people have compared it to like call her daddy to me, and it's nothing like call her daddy. It's nothing like call her daddy. Call her daddy was two girls who barely knew each other, who met, was like a cash cow. And it was really just like ruthless negotiations. Like, how do they get out of working with us so they can make all the money and screw us over? And it was
their stuff was about money. Ours was about our relationship.
Totally. And that's what I've said.
And your success.
Why is Brianna talking like that? Right? Like, she's talking different.
Oh, she looks like she got her lips done.
Oh, okay. Is that it? I don't know. She just like is looking, I don't know, like her monitor's like way up, and it also just looks like she's crying or something. I don't know. It's a very weird, almost higher pitched voice than normal.
Yeah, I'm don't know.
Am I being gaslit?
Well,
right
and also
now?
I think she's probably like,
a manipulation tactic.
I think she's probably also like terrified to say anything because people are gonna just
Should be.
Yeah, honestly. I was like bite her head off, but like, yeah, don't say anything then.
But yeah, no, that was about money too, I think.
Her and Grace, it wasn't about money, but it did come down to like a success kind of almost like competition thing, it seemed like.
Yeah, it was my podcast. I built it. I'm the one that deserved basically everything.
Yeah.
When everybody else disagrees.
The currency was more attention and validation than it was money, but still.
Exactly.
Still similar.
It didn't feel like it was just regular friendship that brought them apart. You know what I mean? It was definitely working together that I think was the biggest tension. And then Zach Bryan just completely severed everything.
Well, it was Bree's own description of the situation where it was like Grace didn't defend her, and it was like people turned on her, and she was mad that they didn't turn on Grace too. And like, I don't know. It didn't seem like it was just because of the Zach thing. That was like the catalyst that then led to a bunch of other things.
But that being said, I don't think this is anything like the call her daddy situation.
No.
I think they're just being like two women fighting this whole falling out once before already with Barstool. Yeah, but no, I don't really think it's similar. Okay, now Dave gets into the comparisons about the ex-wife. Oh, this is going to be so awkward. With Brie there?
What would you say? Be like, I don't look like her.
No. Literally, that can't even be argued. Like, you do, and he's still married to her, isn't he? Or, like, has, like, a weird connection to her. She has, like, all his bank accounts.
Yeah, I just found out that recently. He said that they got denied their divorce because they had too many, like, overlapping, like, finances and stuff. And he describes her as his best friend. I was honestly very surprised to hear the entire thing come out of his mouth because it seems like he would not be like this. But apparently he was like, she was there when I built Barstool. So, like, she's entitled to the fruits of its success. And it's like, oh, surprising. And even the guy that he fired for 5 minutes, Kirk, they were all talking about it with him on the podcast again. And one of the other guys brought up, he was like, Dave, I've never seen you go this hard for anyone. This is so different. And Dave was like, it is different. And it's like, it's Brie. Why?
Yeah, like, he definitely has a soft spot for her. For what reason? One can only speculate, and they did. And that's all it was.
I was going to say, it could have been like a nurturing, like a father-daughter, like, oh, I'm trying to protect her. But it doesn't seem like that, because he also is known for dating younger women, too.
And you all see. And I go online, and I see my ex-wife's picture. I was so mad about that. Some fucking absolute.
I saw this morning, the comparison of Brie to your ex-wife.
My ex-wife was the most private woman I've ever seen a picture of her. Yeah.
She hasn't been in the public eye for over a decade.
Look in the mirror. Okay.
Like, how did people find the picture?
Yeah, no, that's bullshit.
And you put her, this fucking piece of shit. Do we have this, girls? I have a dirt guy. When I'm in it, it's like, hey, go get me dirt. I'm like, go get me dirt on this fucking piece of shit who is bringing back Renee, who has absolutely, like, the craziest fucking theory I've ever seen.
That same woman, she was like my biggest hater. And then when I came forward with all the Zach stuff, and she started, like, supporting me, and I commented.
Huh? Are they talking about Becca?
No, it can't be.
Are they? I don't know. I know that she was one of the main people that, I don't think she found the picture, though. I think she was circulating it after, but she was definitely one of the main people that.
Oh, shit.
I didn't find it from her now.
To see.
Don't support women when it's convenient for you. Like, I still fucking hate you. And none of my fucking comments would go through because she filters them all. But I was like,
Is it the blonde girl? This girl was blonde who started this. There's another one I know who hates you, but there's a blonde girl who started it with me. And then I dug it up, and she had 30 negative tweets about or things about me with, like, the Silvana relationship. So she hates my guts. I don't care. But yeah, you get caught in the algorithm, and then it blows up.
That's the one I'm talking about, that lady.
And, like,
do I have this one, Dave?
Oh.
No. She's gone back and forth on Brie.
She hates Brooke too.
It's just a picture of you. I'm like, oh my god. Yeah, we've covered her some for something. She's the one who says clothed.
Yeah, she also she talked about the Alex Earl thing when we were involved.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, listen, do I get why that's frustrating? Sure.
But also, they're not saying anything negative about the wife.
No, but I could see how to him that would feel, like, offensive. You know what I mean?
No, but he seems, why the fuck? Well, I would be offensive to him, obviously, but it seems like he's being really defensive. Like, why would you bring her into this? She didn't do anything. It's like, well,
I would totally be more on board with his opinion on that if they didn't actually look very similar. That is the only thing that I'm like, oh, but they do look similar. Like, it's not like people brought it out of their ass just to, like, bring people who aren't super public to the public. You know what I mean? It was just like, shit, they really look alike. Yeah, what the fuck?
I think it is hilarious that Brie is like, I've never even seen her.
Okay.
You have now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think, Brie? Come on, tell us. Oh, do you think you look like her?
How do they even find Renee? Now, I guess probably easy, but.
Now, hold on for a second, though. Brie does kind of look like her a little
bit. Yeah,
right?
Those pictures, they do kind of look
alike. They do look a little
similar.
They
picked pictures where we would look alike, I would assume.
But what's that have to do with anything?
Oh, I'm just pointing it out there that maybe they do kind of look alike. They do kind of look like.
I dated Savannah was Colombian. Celtics girl's blonde. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, you don't discriminate. You don't discriminate.
I'm just saying bring in somebody who's totally in the private sector. And I don't want those pictures of her online. Like, has absolutely nothing to do with anything. And post it. Imagine if she's sitting there like, what the fuck is going on?
She's just, like, scrolling. She's like, what the? That's me? What the fuck?
And I would be closer to putting Brie and O'Malley together in a rocket ship and sending them to outer space than I would to having a crush on Brie.
Exactly.
Like, I am just like, how
out
am I in the middle of this? I don't know how that. And by the way, I was like a month from not even having to comment on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because really close.
This couldn't have just happened in like start in January, let you guys deal with it.
Yeah, just to start off the show, that would have been awesome. I mean, it's kind of still starting off the show anyway, yeah. So.
Yeah.
It's,
hey, views.
But anyway, obviously he got upset about that. That's fine.
Valid. But still, like, also, I can't imagine, like, it's not like someone was like, Dave has a crush on Bree. I wonder if she looks like his ex-wife. I don't feel like that was the order of events that probably happened. It was like someone had already seen her and then was like, you know what? And then it, like,
yeah, somebody made
about.
The connection.
Yeah.
And then I think everybody else who circulated it, including ourselves, were just like, holy shit, she does look like his ex-wife.
It was weird.
It was just a theory, but yeah. I mean.
Is that allegedly? I don't know. I'm not saying this is true.
No, but I do. I could see how that's annoying and how he's just like, well, fuck you guys. But I don't know. You guys just look alike. That's all. Okay, moving on.
Fans believe Barstool doesn't have an HR department. We do.
I don't think we have a PR department, though.
I never do PR.
Like, everyone's like, who's your publicist? I'm like, why am I gonna craft a fake?
The most obvious
not the flex
statement.
You think it is at this moment. Even though we literally just covered how basically PR firms are seedy and bullshit and
but
ethically are a little questionable.
But it's because they're doing their job.
But yeah, and their job is messy as fuck.
Yeah, it clearly is. No one was doing that job for her.
Correct. That shit. I hate that shit. And that's what every other influencer on the whole entire internet does. They have PR.
No.
They tell them what to say. They tell them how to act. They tell them who to be.
We always say that's not how it is because it's
my
not.
My team? Like, no.
No.
Not every. Bullshit. That is such a joke that she
the
just said
the amount of influencers that actually have PR teams, lawyers, all that stuff on deck is 1%, if that.
If you've crossed over into like a more mainstream world where you have like products and stuff too, where it's like, even like James Charles, like I don't think he even has a PR team. It's people like Patrick Starr or something. And he doesn't even have it to like avoid negative stuff. But it's just like, do you know how expensive publicists are? Because that's insane.
Yeah, I don't know where she got that from or what influencer she hangs around that she thinks all influencers have that, but no. They don't.
Because we had one for like a short period of time when we were at Clever, but it wasn't that they were just for Clever. They had been contracted for the entire company. I remember even when we were launching something new, they were like looking into like, oh, should we get the PR company back for like a month? And it was such an absurd amount of money that I was like, no, absolutely not. That's a waste.
Yeah, I have been approached with like a almost like a subscription option for PR people before, and it was a couple thousand a month.
Literally. And it pretty much all they do for most influencers would be like they get you on the list for like movie premieres and shit.
Yeah.
Like it's not.
No, thanks.
No.
Tell them who to be. I've never done that. Barstool has never done that either.
And I'm probably not the best, like, hey, maybe we should go on a half an hour rant because it won't look good. It's like I'm a firm believer in say what you gotta say and like you can't get in trouble doing that, but
I feel like Barstool is, you could say, built off of rants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need the rant.
So.
Okay, Josh.
Okay, literally.
I feel like every time he said something, I'm like, okay, no one needed. You don't really contribute a whole lot to the conversation.
It's usually exactly what the previous person said, just slightly worded differently.
Big paraphraser.
That's us not talking about it. I guess we kind of talked about it. We already know there's nothing. We know this. There's very little, like, the people don't like what we're saying or whatever. This isn't going to turn them or anything.
No, there's nothing I could say or we could say to change anything. That's life, man.
I feel like you could probably say some things to remedy a little bit of it.
Yeah, I feel like if you maybe acknowledge that the way you covered her was extremely hurtful, and even if you're hurt because your friendship ended in a way that was ugly or whatever the fuck, you were really, really insensitive in just being like, basically, Grace doesn't matter. It's only me that matters, and people only praise Grace to hurt me, and Grace is the worst, and I hate her, and she's evil. Bye. Yeah,
I would venture to say a little accountability might go a long way, but you know,
would everybody think like, oh my god, that's so amazing, Brie, we completely forgive you and love you now?
No, but it would be better than what it is now.
I think in the grand scheme of things it would take you a little bit further than whatever the fuck this is, which is just like, well, I said what I needed to say. Oh, we know that was the problem.
I was just giving my side.
It will go away. The internet always moves quick, and it does. I mean, you guys hopefully just continue to be successful. So, and I didn't get it, to be honest. Like, Brie, you started the before Grace told me she wanted to leave, you were hinting like I may have to leave Barstool. I didn't get it. I'm like, why?
Yeah, I felt pushed out of Barstool. Yeah, I texted Dave, I don't know, last week. I was like, I have to leave. I think I have to leave Barstool. I can't do this anymore.
And I'm just sitting there like, Dave's like, all right, both you and Grace, it's like, I don't, all right, you got to do what you do. I don't know what to, it's like, we're just caught in the middle. Like, I don't, there's no right answer for us. So, all right, so that's that. We'll see. It just sucks. What a sad what way for me to go out.
I know, it is
so
sad.
Sad.
Well, let's, okay, we just, talked about, let's try right. to have a happy, fun episode.
Why is she look, she does, like, I do think she got her lips done, but she also looks like she's kind of like giggling, but then also about to cry at the same time.
I'm telling you, it's something different in her, like what she's, the way she's speaking. It's, well, like
it's
her, tone.
It's her mouth is,
it.
Like, there's something going.
Let me look at her mouth again. Hold up.
She definitely got no, her lips done. See. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's like,
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Just the way that she's conducting herself here, it's just a little bit different. And maybe you're right. And maybe she is just scared. But also, I think with Dave, he needs to understand that although he's like the boss that he's been forever, like just like very lax and very, I don't even know how to describe him.
There's always room for improvement.
In situations like this, it's just if that doesn't work and that wasn't the proper way to handle anything as a boss is sit there for 40 minutes and act like you're on a FaceTime with all of us because at the end of the day, you're not.
Well, and like, which is inevitably going to alienate the employee you're talking about. And like, then you're shocked that she wants to, I mean, he wasn't. Shocked, it seems like, but no shit, she's gonna want to leave. Like, are you kidding? The only reason Bree wants to leave is because all the other employees are mad because they're seeing how much money she makes and how much he's defending her. So here's her talking a little bit more about Grace, and then it goes into the thing about the Tana TikTok.
This is just all blown out of proportion, but also with Grace quitting and people saying like you forced her out or like all that stuff, like me and Grace before all this bullshit always talked about her like leaving and just doing comedy. So like I think if anything it just sped it up for her and it was able to get her to do what she wanted to do.
Well,
I thought she was gonna
leave. Lucky her.
So now you've set her free.
Exactly. It's like now she just did her, she did her a favor. Yep.
Jesus.
We yeah.
3 weeks, like when she called me 3 weeks ago and said she was staying to renew, I thought she was gonna leave then. This before it blew up.
This is like what she want has been wanting to
comedy
do.
That's all she wants to do, comedy.
Well,
and she is blowing
it.
Up yeah,
yeah. And that's why I didn't think bringing the podcast back in some capacity mattered because she's always only ever wanted to do comedy, so that's why it kind of just all fucking spiraled.
Yep. All right, Tana Mojo made TikToks about situations she may be siding with Grace. Who's not siding with Grace?
No one.
She loves to dip her fingers you too. In any chance she gets, eh?
Well, yeah, anyone that talks about me negatively will get a bajillion views. So
oh, please.
It's kind of also bajillion. A general
number of hatred. Literally main character syndrome. Did she win that award?
Yes, I believe. No.
Okay.
Sophia LaCourte
did. She did.
No, Sophia did.
Oh, I still think Brianna should have gotten
it. I do too, because literally it's like, this is typical, like, everyone just uses me for views. A bajillion.
She thinks really? She's the reason for every season. Yes. Like, she really is like, I am why everything happens.
She's now the reason for Grace's comedy success. Mm-hmm, she's mm-hmm. just, she did it all. She has everyone just, she's carrying it on her back.
You and Tana were like friends, though.
We are.
So how do you feel about that when you see a post okay. like that?
I'm scared.
I'm like, well, it's Tana. I don't know. What do you expect?
I'd hold that against somebody for life.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to be like,
Dave.
Yeah.
Not a friend.
Oh my God, this is so awkward.
Breeze Boys Lie Collab. I'm not going to lie. I was wondering
that was
what
it?
They like.
That was the whole Tana situation?
Yeah, literally.
It's like,
that
well,
was literally so
hey,
fucking awkward.
Your friend said some shit about you. And then just, what do you expect? Well, maybe that your friend wouldn't say something like that.
I mean, I do get her when she says it's Tana because
I do
honestly,
too, but
is Tana loyal to anyone? I don't know.
No, that's and I actually think, did they say it and I didn't hear? At some point, someone says like Tana is like that even with like her enemies, like or she's like still friendly with people that have like fucked her over.
James Charles.
There you go. But like even like if I think if I saw Tana, like I don't think she would be like, fuck you for all those things you said about me. She'd be like, eh. I get it. Like,
yeah.
I just feel like she doesn't really hold a grudge, but she also then maybe acts a little too as if no one else will ever hold a grudge either, which maybe Bray doesn't. But I also don't know how legitimate their friendship was or if it was more just like work friends.
Yeah, I mean, they probably just hung out a bunch or whatever. But either way, what an awkward addressing of that. Dave being like, I would hold that against someone for life. It's like, okay. I mean, come on.
Also, then they do bring up the Boys Lie collab she did, which is this like clothing line, I guess. I'm pretty sure it was the one that ended up having to drop Brooke after her tweets.
Really?
That she had one coming out with them. But Brie just did one, and it is almost entirely themed on like her breakup with Zach.
What do you mean?
Like the promo video for it, it's like hockey players and she's like the coach and she goes in and she like teaches them how to not be like a shitty boyfriend. And then she starts listing off like, if your girlfriend wears a really hot dress to the Golden Globes, what do you do?
I'm gonna ask you boys a series of questions. If you get the question right, you're promoted to a jersey. If not, staying in the tracksuit. All right, question number one. Your girlfriend wears this dress. Do you A, unfollow her, B, try to break up with her, or C, tell her she looks beautiful? Ricky, you.
I unfollow her.
I break up with her.
Wrong! Wrong!
No jersey for you.
All right, Rick, question number two. Is your girlfriend allowed to listen to this man under your roof?
Fuck yeah, Morgan's a stud.
Yeah.
You kidding me? What kind of question is that?
Bingo, jersey him. All right, Bobby, question number three. Should you intentionally ruin your girlfriend's birthday?
Yeah.
No, Bobby, come on.
I mean, no.
Jersey him. All right, last question. Billy, is it ethical to silence women with money?
I don't have any money, so no.
That's weird.
That
actually
is the promo for it. Yeah, I was like, weird. This is uncomfortable. Why would you want to do this? Quotes that she has said about him are like on the clothing.
Weird. Okay.
Sorry that I don't like the exact details. I didn't look that closely at it, but like it was an interesting
choice.
Move. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, as of right now, that's pretty much all we know.
The only other thing was that I think the Whitney Cummings, just like, I mean, well, obviously she was going to be like on Grace's side, but she like made kind of like a snarky thing about their HR department.
I'm sorry, does Barstool Sports not have a human resources department, or if not, I would like to apply for the job. I'm available. Frankly, you don't even have to pay me. I will do it for free.
Oh, yeah. And then also, I do know that Brie apparently went on Alex Earl's podcast, but I don't think they said anything that, about this.
So that happened before everything blew up, and it just might have aired like literally one of the same days something. Because people were really, they were like, how dare you, Alex? Why would you have her on?
Jesus Christ.
And also, weird thing is that someone pointed out that in like, I think it was on YouTube, it was like the chapters that they had put included something about Grace, but then that part got cut out.
Oh, like in post on YouTube?
Yeah, like it was a positive mention of Grace, I think. It was something about like Alex had run into Grace somewhere and was like, oh, I just saw Grace, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, shit.
The interview is like very much about Zach and the breakup. So it's like before the podcast ended. Well, I mean, it ended, but like before it was announced or anything.
Yikes. Well, honestly, all I can say is that I hope Brianna got everything off her chest so that we don't have to revisit her anytime soon, because it seems like the only time we do revisit her is because she just keeps, you know, keeps going. Even though this time was a little bit less, she was a little bit more timid. She wasn't as comfortable.
Yeah, I was like
sharing with
she might
class.
Get it all off her chest, but she's carrying everyone on her back still, yeah. Apparently, and just doing the most.
It's a hard job. Somebody's got to do it.
Before we go any further, we have another word from another sponsor, Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter is my favorite litter of all time. It has changed my litter game. I used to track so much clay litter all over my house, and it smelled like cat pee no matter how many times I would clean my litter. But Pretty Litter has a non-clumping formula that traps odor and moisture, and it's super absorbent, lightweight, low dust, and literally 1 6-pound bag will work for up to a month. Like, you barely have to change out the entire litter.
And it's really cool because it's like these clear crystals, and then when your cat pees in it, it will change colors based on if they have any health concerns you need to get checked out, which is very helpful.
And my favorite part is that Pretty Litter ships right to my door. I don't have to go to the store and carry a huge heavy bag back home. So it's very convenient.
That is a big plus. And right now, if you go to prettylitter.com/DWKT, you can save 20% on your first order and you get a free cat toy.
That's prettylitter.com/DWKT to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. prettylitter.com/DWKT.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And thank you so much to Pretty Litter for being an amazing sponsor of this podcast. Anyway, our next topic is a very quick little TikTok one that we actually got sent through an email. So thank you if you're the viewer that sent this in. It's not super long, but I saw it and I was just like, oh, interesting. So do you know what unclaimed mail is? Literally, it just like describes itself in the name. But like, you know?
Yeah, I was like, yeah. Like, I've heard of like unclaimed like money where it's like you're getting like...
No, so basically this lady, she's called Palette Princess Zero on TikTok, and she buys these huge pallets of unclaimed mail. And basically it's like companies that sold someone a product, it got returned to them, and they like sell it to these people who sell it to other people. I don't fucking know.
So it's like a return to sender kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
There was just like no one there.
Yeah. And honestly, when I first heard this, I was like, I need to figure out how to buy a pallet. That was like my first thought. I was like, I need to do this.
Yeah, but that sounds fun.
Also, I immediately was like, oh, actually, no. Not only when I saw this story, but when I saw, because I kind of fell down a little hole of just watching her open shit, because I love to open mail. It is my thing. I like when I get mail, I'm very excited.
It's like a mystery box.
Yeah, except it's really a bunch of people's useless shit. Like I saw her open like 7 things back to back, and they were the most like, okay, things that you've ever seen, like chair covers that were like seafoam green that don't even probably fit your chairs. And then you're like, well, what do I do with that now? There was one that had a bunch of key rings from someone's Airbnb that had like house, garage, cabana. Yeah. Why do you need
people
that?
People have weird taste. So it's like if you're just going to randomly, and then especially if they left, it clearly wasn't that important. So.
Yeah, or they just ordered it again or something. Now there is certain times that she finds something that seems to be sentimental. So in that same video that I saw, she had found this like light up, like, you know, those acrylic almost like frames that have pictures on them that when they light up is when you could see the photo. There was one of like a dad with his kids. And so she shouted out the name and the city. And she's like, if you guys, like if anybody knows this person or if this person sees this, I'll send it to you. So she does that from time to time if it seems like a sentimental gift. She says otherwise she just like gifts things or donates them.
I gotta say, I do always think it's funny when you hear like all the like the porch pirates and like people that steal.
She literally says in the beginning of her video, like, I am not a porch pirate. I just wanted to be known, like, that's not what I do here.
She does it legally. I always do think when I see stories like that, I'm like, how many times did the people steal a package and then they open it and they're like, what the fuck?
Literally. Well, that's the thing. There's some packages that you can tell the value from the outside, like if they have a lithium battery or something, you know, it'll have that picture. Things like that you may be able to tell, but for the most part, if you're just stealing like Amazon packages at my house, for instance, half the time it's going to be like my toothpaste. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really going to be that valuable.
I order some cool stuff, but you would have to be the right audience for it. Like, it was like, I feel like I do order a lot of techie stuff, but if it's anything expensive, then usually they like make you sign for it still, even if it's off
Amazon. Like a laptop or something. Yeah. But anyway, that's not what she does. Okay. She's not a porch pirate. She pays for these pallets, and I guess you could buy them in other forms, but she literally buys, if you don't know what a pallet is, it's like
big,
those things they have to get on a forklift.
Yeah. That's my chair was delivered on one, and they like had to confirm the address. They were like, how far away is your door?
Oh
like,
my God.
Okay. Calm down.
Well, and I would say that I wonder how profitable this is for her, but she has a few viral videos, and then she also has 388,000 followers, and she just has a room that's like filled with unopened packages and will both post videos. And I'm not sure if she goes live or not, but I would imagine she would like probably go live and open things too. And it does seem like good content.
It's a
like,
smart idea, I think. Also, how much do they cost?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't have a chance to look into it.
I guess what I was wondering is like, because when you buy the pallet, you don't know what's going to be in anything. So like,
no.
Do the people selling it know what's in it? So how would they price it?
No.
So it's probably pretty cheap. Like, I feel like it can't be that expensive. But yeah, I would love to see the price list.
Yeah, I want to look it up. And if it's cheap, maybe I'll just buy one pallet.
No, we each get one.
Okay, that was a long-winded way to describe what she does, but you get it. She opens unopened packages.
Got
so
it.
She'll put out a call to action if she finds one of those sentimental items, and she did when she found this necklace.
Very curious to see where this is going to go.
Okay, this came in unclaimed mail, and we have to find the person. You're going to see why once I open it. I'm going to try to say the name. It's Jakiri or Jakiri. And he was from Forest, Mississippi. And this is it. This is why it's so important to find the owner. It says love and loyalty. And there you go. It's got two little kids, number 62 and number 5. It is a long silver chain. And again, here's the boys, number 62 and number 5, love and loyalty. And again, it was for Jakiri in Forest, Mississippi. So if you're from Forest, Mississippi, or even Mississippi, take a peek at this. Tell me if you know who these kids are so we can get this back to probably their dad or whoever it belongs to.
There you go.
It's not that crazy. It's just like, why are people this way? Like, genuinely, why? Okay. Then she found the lady. And their messages are what makes this interesting, just so you know.
Okay.
Here we go.
Update. We found the owner of this necklace. If you don't follow me, you don't know the story, but I opened this necklace in unclaimed mail and I made a video. Something told me I needed to find the owner. Now I know the story and I really needed to find the owner. So one thing to remember about social media is if you don't comment on my post, I don't necessarily see the post. Also, be patient with me. I get so many messages and I have a life. So while I was grocery shopping, these are the messages I got. So last night at 8:20 p.m. after family Christmas, I messaged her and I said, hey, the necklace is your son's. Let me know. I want to get it back to you. And then she responds this morning, yes. And honestly, this is her son and his godbrother, and the godbrother passed away. Mm-hmm. So that is a sad situation, of course. But wait till you see what is said next.
Do you want to read those? Can you read those?
Hello, I'm trying to get my son's necklace. I don't want to be rude, but I'm actually getting aggravated because you aren't responding, but I'm constantly get tagged into your post. Please send my son his necklace, please. And then she sends a screenshot of, I assume, commenting on it or something.
This is all on the same date, by the way. And this is Christmas, from what I understand.
Got it. So got it. She's very aggravated.
She messages
though.
Her Christmas night. And then I don't know if this is like the next day or something, but like, ma'am, please, I understand. Sentimental. It was laying in a fucking warehouse in a pallet. Like, okay, can you give me a second?
Also,
thank you.
Clearly, she wouldn't have posted it if she wasn't trying to.
It's not just posting it, because maybe she posted it for clout or like just to like look like a good person. She messaged you being like, I'm so excited to like get this to you. Let's make it happen. And then she didn't immediately answer your other message. And you're like, I'm actually getting aggravated.
Oh, wait. Like, there was conversation prior to this.
Yes. So Jody, who's the palette princess, is the one that messaged Brittany Nicole, who's the mom. And we'll read her messages first. She kind of skimmed through those really quick, but we'll read the actual messages.
Wait, then what? So she says, the necklace is your son's. And then she says, let me know and I can get it back to you if you're willing to let me know what the story is. My followers are super anxious to get it back to you. Sorry, guys, it's really blurry.
For it to get back
to where it belongs and to know the story if you're willing. And then she says, yes, super ma'am. Nice. Sends a picture that is the picture that has been made into the necklace. And she says, this is my son and his godbrother. Unfortunately, his godbrother was killed. So this necklace means a lot. And then we have like later that day. It's not even a new day.
So that was all at like 8 something at night. And then this is the next day after Christmas, 1:47 p.m., which isn't even that late. Hello, I'm trying to get my son's necklace.
Is it though? I think she go back. Yeah, no, it says that she sent it in the morning.
Oh, wait. No. So it's that the original message that she sent, the necklace is your son's, was sent by itself at night.
Yes.
That wasn't responded to on her behalf. So the Brittany Nicole lady didn't even respond to that.
So then the following
morning. And then the next
morning
is when she said, let me know.
And then the lady responds that day sometime. And then at 1. So it has literally been like 5 hours.
Oh my God. That's insane.
Interesting. Okay.
When you have to start a sentence with, I don't want to be rude. You're being rude. I'm getting aggravated because you aren't responding, but I'm constantly getting tagged. So she's saying I'm not responding, but I had already sent her a message. Someone else had like shared my post and she was commenting on theirs. I had no idea. And I had sent her a message saying, I have your necklace. I would love to get it back to you. This is where it just feels cringy, okay? This is a sentimental piece and I need it in our possession ASAP.
The full message says, your TikTok story has nothing to do with you listening to facts. I don't know what the fuck
that means. Yeah.
This is a sentimental piece and I need it in our possession ASAP. Well, maybe it should have had the correct address on it, ma'am. I think I would have spun out at this point in time. I would have been like, too bad, so sad. No, I'm just kidding. It is a sentimental piece. I get it. That is really sad that the godbrother passed away, but are you fucking kidding me?
Well, no, but like, also, are you actually joking? She said she would give her your address or something. She's supposed to just like carry your picture?
Yeah, I don't know where crossed the line and why it was so quick to when she's just like, you stole my necklace now. Like now it's stolen and you're never going to give it back.
And why is it also written like it's like done by AI? I need it in our possession ASAP.
Then this lady responds to her and says, I messaged you on here so we could connect and I can get you the necklace. I don't understand what you're upset about. I don't get messages on TikTok. I'm sorry, but you have to give me a little bit of time to respond. I've been grocery shopping for my family for Christmas. That's so fucked up.
And also, like, the fact that it took this lady longer to respond to her original message than it has that she has had not responded is wild.
And it's so silly because at that point, you haven't had it forever. Maybe you thought you had lost it or something.
But
like, you had
rush?
No chance of getting this back. And now you have a chance of getting it back because someone's saying they'll send it to you. I think you'll survive if it's a day or two after Christmas.
Not to mention, like, I wouldn't piss them off.
And also, not to mention that the post offices are closed on that day, I'm pretty sure. So what are you even on about?
Weird.
Listen, lady,
I found it yesterday. It's not even 24 hours after I found this.
Oh my God.
My intention is to get it back to you, and I will 100% get it back to you.
She stole it.
But can we offer people a little bit of grace? Like, why are we so rude and in a hurry? So I say, hey, I messaged you so we could connect. Let me know. I'll get you the necklace. So my point is, when I open personalized items, this one, I was like, we gotta find the owner. And who knows? Maybe someone was behind that. But what I will say is, can we just remember that everyone's human? I was literally doing grocery shopping for Christmas when she was sending me messages saying, I want this necklace in my possession.
It could have been
ASAP.
A random Tuesday. She's going to get her necklace. Still weird.
Don't worry. But I wanted to share this and hope that everyone can just understand, give everyone a little grace and a little patience, and let's just all be nice to
I feel like we're in kindergarten. Like, why do we need to say this? And again, it could have been a random Tuesday, and that still would have been weird behavior. This is the last TikTok she does on it. Mind you, the person, Brittany Nicole, whoever the necklace actually belongs to, never got on to TikTok to, like, tell her side, but she gives us a last update, and it's kind of funny.
Okay, what this comment says is, how did you know that's the true owner of the necklace?
Couple things. A picture.
First of all, she knew the young man's last name. She's from the city that it was supposed to go to. And she posted an original picture of the two boys. And then the plot thickens. It gets even better, guys. Somebody, I haven't actually seen it myself, but somebody told me that on Facebook, there's a picture of her son wearing the exact necklace. So what that tells me is she has already got a replacement.
Oh.
And that it's really their necklace. Now, I should say it's my necklace, but I'm not like that. It's their necklace. I don't want the picture necklace of.
Oh, that's like the lady kind of acting dying. Like she was like holding it hostage or something. It's like, what the fuck is she going to do with a chain with two people she doesn't know on? And especially when people now are finding out she already got him another one. So she's like, that is a sentimental piece. Send it now.
It's like, if you still want it, sure, that's fine. But also, like, why the rush if you already have one?
It's literally just a weird ass entitled thing to do. And even though I know it's sentimental, I don't know if I could be the bigger person, because literally, look at what she ended up doing and tell me that you could ever have done this.
If anyone is wondering, yesterday I went to the post office and bless I mailed you. It to her. She has blocked me, so I can't send her the tracking number. So if you're watching this and you know them, let them know their necklace should be there by next Saturday.
First of all, I love her. But also,
I do too. I love her. And she's like, or should I say my necklace?
Like, she's not being a bitch. She's just funny. But tell me, would you send that necklace after those messages and after you got blocked? Would you send it?
You know, hard to say, because I would never be in this situation because I...
Would you have just thrown out the necklace?
I was like, I can't return things. I can't. I'm so...
She would have saw this and been like, well, anyway.
Mail is not my thing. I don't know. If someone was that much of a bitch to me, I don't think I would go to the effort to go to the post office, ship it,
I
pay
hate
for
the
shipping.
Post office.
Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. The son, I mean, I guess he could now have like an extra one in case he loses his, but like,
okay.
It's just, it doesn't seem like it's that urgent.
If
so
it's that
the second
sentimental,
I would have found
you
out,
take care of it and you don't lose it.
Literally, the second that I found out that he had an extra one and she blocked me and said some shit like that to me, I would have probably been like, okay.
The
what,
blocking
man? Actually
is insane.
Too bad.
And also, it's like she, yeah. As if she was like harassing her. Didn't you want the necklace back? Why would you block her?
Oh my God. I don't know. It's
That's
so fucking weird
behavior.
And then what's crazier and just shows that she's actually a good person, like literally the next day is when she found that little acrylic thing with the dad and the two kids' handprints. And she was just like, hey, like if you guys want it, I'll send it. I don't know why I'm doing this again, but I'll do it. And I almost wonder if she just sent it only because she did film it and it would have looked bad if she didn't send it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, I don't know. She seems like a nice person.
No, she does. She seems cool. But
that's funny.
Yeah. And it was such a random part of TikTok that we hadn't tapped into yet. Like unclaimed mail TikTok.
Yeah,
hello.
No, I had no idea.
But those messages, I was just like, oh my, I would have lost it. I would have cursed her out. Well, I would have had to.
And it's also like such, like, I think to her saying that like the lady commented on a repost that like someone else had done and was like mad she wasn't responding. Like that is such boomer behavior.
I know.
Why
I
aren't
know.
You answering me? That's the like equivalent of like when like parents will type in like thinking they're searching for something and they type it in their status update on Facebook.
Oh my God, I've never seen that.
It's my favorite.
That's kind of embarrassing.
Yes, it is.
So one more thing we're going to talk about. about super quick. It's not quite a full topic. It's just a really quick thing to touch on because
an update, if you will.
It was weird. Yeah. Cody Coe is back.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it. That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
He made his return to YouTube, and he looks tired.
I would be pretty tired, too.
I mean, he has a baby now, so also that. But just the sheer hate that he's rightfully gotten on the internet. If you guys don't remember, we covered him because he had sex with a very...
allegedly.
Minor Tana Mojo at the time, allegedly. Yeah. He did resign from Tiny Meat Gang and all of that because of this. So that doesn't scream allegedly to me, but maybe I'm wrong. But Tana Mojo did let people know that. And then it kind of snowballed into everybody covering it. And then he was forced to leave and Noelle took over. And it was this whole thing. And he disappeared. And so did Kelsey.
Yeah, I was going to say. And also, I just read that apparently. So that did that happen in July? About sounds 6 months about ago? Right. That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Since July, Kelsey, his wife, who just had a baby not long ago, she has not posted anything on social media. And she also had a podcast called Circle Time. And she has not posted that since July.
That does suck. That does.
I know.
Like, she obviously, I mean, you're married to him, but you didn't know what he did before he met you. And then it's such a weird situation to be put in.
But I agree. I know that they're all... Also, which I'm sure this probably led to her not posting as much too, there was a clip going around where they were friends with Emma Chamberlain when she was like definitely under 18.
Kelsey was?
Kelsey and him, yeah. And oh. Like she would like go hang out with them and she was like, I want to say like 16. And they were like, not 16. They're like my age, I think. I don't think it was like real, but it was like there's a video of her like hitting the vape for the first time. And I don't think if she was really hitting it for the first time, but it's like they're doing it with her and it's just like kind of weird.
Yeah,
not that I mean, not it's it not doesn't sexual, mean that so no I was good. Gonna say it doesn't mean that she should be like having to deal with the bullshit that he did when she didn't even know him, but I think that there was backlash that she was receiving too because people started looking.
Got it. And it does honestly, I have to feel for her. Like, you just had a child and then your entire life collapses. Now I know that Cody Coe has made enough money in general
and like has investments and stuff
his whole life.
And yeah, I'm thinking, yeah,
that
fine.
Basically through investments. And also like he sold, what was it that he sold?
I don't know.
Wasn't he like a part of like Grapevine or something? Like he was part of like an agency.
Yeah. He has a lot of like business ventures behind the scenes.
Yeah. But like this one was big and I used to get brand deals from them and he sold his part of it, which was probably millions and millions and millions of dollars. So
there you go.
He's all right financially, but that doesn't change the fact that like, that's really scary. You know what I mean? Your income, everything is cut, rightfully so. I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but like you just had a child. It just must have honestly been that the worst year of their life.
Yeah, but he's back.
But that being said, Cody Coe came back and I was always kind of curious how he would do it, if he would address it, because it's kind of like, how do you not address it? And I guess in some ways he touches around it, but he definitely doesn't touch it.
One thing though, he didn't immediately leave from, I think he hasn't done it for a while, but I remember everyone posting that he had not said anything.
DJing.
Yeah, he hadn't said anything for a hot second, but he had a residency in Vegas and he like popped up DJing at a party and everyone was posting that he like turned on the Sorry by Justin Bieber.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And people were like, very it was a slap in the face kind of situation after that. Because number one, that's how I found out that he was a DJ. I had no idea. And number two, it was just, it was a hard watch. Like he's just there, like when you know he's just like panicking and losing it, because that's actively when his life was falling apart. But anyway.
Yeah. This is his legitimate return though to YouTube.
Yes. Yeah, so it's like a 20-minute long video. We're just going to watch a quick minute of it because I think this is like the only part he actually even says anything around that situation.
Which right? he doesn't address anything directly. He just kind of alludes to going through a hard time, I believe.
I want to vlog the whole process just like I did for Iron Man.
He's running a marathon.
Being creative, doing this type of thing and putting it out there, it's just in my DNA. I need to do it. And so I'm going to do it. Obviously, I understand I've been offline for months, haven't made videos for, you know, that whole time. And I also understand if your opinion of me has potentially changed over the last few months. You know, I spent the first half of my career criticizing people and judging people online. So, you know, I don't begrudge your judgment of me by any means. I just think all I can do right now moving forward is just try to be the best person I can be for myself and for my family, and just try to continue putting the best shit out there that I can. So that's what I'm going to do. And if you stick around to watch it, I very much appreciate it from the bottom of my heart, truly. And, so that's the plan. 330 marathon in March.
Okay. Not him trying to compare like him making fun of like Girl Defined to people judging him and being mad that he potentially committed.
Like, yeah, so joking? Here is what I really don't respect about this. I understand if this was any other scenario where it's like he was canceled for something that isn't a literal crime, you know what I mean? Then it would have been like, okay, well, people are pissed at you for doing something, you get pissed at other people for doing things, whatever.
Yeah.
But this specific thing, I can't help but feel like he's purposefully keeping it vague in hopes that if people don't know about it for whatever reason, they wouldn't go and search it out. And just like in an attempt to skirt around accountability, because like, this is
the only thing bullshit. I will say is he might be doing that because it is a literal crime, so he doesn't want to like have him like casually admitting to it. I also don't remember, I think I looked it up at the time when we first covered it, but like what the statute of limitations was. I think Tana would have to press charges too, but him admitting it would be not good for him, which I'm not saying he shouldn't admit.
That's
it,
true,
but like maybe find some way to kind of acknowledge what you did without saying it then. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like he could have at least hit us with like a, I've made a lot of stupid decisions that I at the time didn't think were as big a deal or whatever the fuck. Just instead, hit us with something. He, you don't like, have to say the actual thing.
Well, and then instead the fact that he compares it to like, I used to judge people. It's like, how about you used to be a creep? I made bad decisions. Anything. It was just like, I criticized people. That's not what people are mad for though.
And people aren't criticizing you just to criticize you and your content and make light of it or talk about a story regarding it. They are literally saying, if you really had sex with Tana Mojo when she was 16 years old, that is a crime. Yeah. Like, that's what they're saying.
And he's just not acknowledging that. He doesn't say he did anything wrong. It's just like, people are judging him.
Regardless of Tana having done a lot of stuff in her own career that I find very problematic, I do think that Tana suffered a lot by becoming so famous at such a young age. And I hope almost, maybe not that he talks to her, because that might be weird and might make her feel weird, but I don't know. Like, I just hope that
he like apologized to her. Maybe. I feel like we would hear that though.
Yeah, I don't know. I almost just feel like he owes her just a big like, fuck, I shouldn't have done that. I should have known better. I was the adult and you were the kid. But obviously he's not going to do that because then she could be recording it or something.
Well, that's, I think if he had done that podcast, we would know.
Yeah, she probably would have said that. But I don't, I just feel bad for her just having to, because I'm sure Cody Ko is not the only one, and having, like, I started when I was 18 and then I had just turned 19 years old, and like that felt like very overwhelming as a 19-year-old. I can't imagine 15, 16 years old and you have millions of followers and all these influencers that you watched your whole childhood. Well, you're still in your childhood, but like all these people that you admire want to sleep with you.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, wait, what?
I mean, she said, she was like, oh my God, cool. Like, yeah, that must mean I'm like awesome. And then I'm pretty sure she's even said that, not necessarily that he was the main catalyst, but that like that made it seem more okay. Like she did it once and like it wasn't a problem for her because she didn't realize that it was a problem until much later, but that she says that that became like a pattern, like she was hooking up with older guys because that was just like normal, and he was one of the people that helped normalize that, and that's just sad.
Yeah, it's all so fucked. I honestly don't know what I expected, but that wasn't the return I was expecting. It was a little lackluster, I must admit. Could have hit us with something else. But anyway, that is pretty much all we have for you today. Do you want to move on to We Love the Internet?
We shall.
I found mine last night as I was perusing my phone.
What do you got for us?
Shit. Oh man, there's two. No. Okay, I have to save it. Okay, now I need you to choose. Do you want either a woman going around asking different people at a store for help finding size 20 shoes, and she's like wearing them and she has like giant feet, or getting a haircut in Mumbai?
The first one.
Okay, it's a good one. Good choice. We'll do Mumbai next week. When I tell you I was fucking cracking the fuck up last night. Oh my
God. Just the concept is good. Big shoe ladies are handled.
not the lady's name being Rose. That in a
size 20? Size 20?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness. That, whose shoot is that?
I put myself in your place.
Yeah.
I think it's a hardship. Yeah. And why did it happen?
Why? What?
You guys have any shoes in a size 20?
Who in a size of 20?
Me.
Halloween?
This ain't no Halloween. Oh, now you got jokes.
You got a little bit of space.
No, there's a whole lot of space.
No, look, Phil, no, my.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm. That's a downfall.
Wait, whose shoes are those?
Oh my God, you're not 20.
Yes, I am. Are you cracking jokes on my shoes?
No.
I didn't think so. Yeah, I didn't think so.
I don't think so, too.
Are those you?
Yeah.
Oh.
How are you shoot you like that? I never see like that. Shoot you.
There's a lot that. Of not in there, huh? You
know, especially if I wanted to get dressed up or something.
There's a beautiful
this,
thank
you. That lady. It's not you all
sides. I have tall grandsons.
Yeah.
And their feet are large.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
I do have a hard time finding shoes.
Always.
The end.
Oh
the end.
My God. It's just funny because like they're huge, but they're not like
proportionate.
Well, it's that they're not quite large enough for it to be like absolutely not to like they could be like, oh, well, is that like it's they have to question whether it's real.
Okay. Well, I questioned if it was real. I sent it to Alex.
It's
and
not.
I was like, I think it's real.
Oh
and then
my.
He goes,
Jesse,
are you fucking kidding me? Okay, do you know why I thought it was real?
Do you know what?
It's because I saw
because
these
you're
shoes
gullible?
And I was like, okay, so you're buying Nikes for the joke, number one. That's weird. But then also, if you go to her page, she has multiple examples of her wearing very large shoes.
That doesn't mean she has very large feet.
I know, but she just has a lot of large shoes. But anyway, Alex then clocked it and he's like, no, she's the girl who plays, she has like a ref character, like a referee character. And yeah, he's like, Jesse, you're dumb. I'm like, well, actually, I did think it was fake. That was my first instinct. But then on second thought, I saw that she had a lot of shoes and the story checked out. And
no,
I believed it for a split second.
That is worse than the veneers.
No. Yeah. No, come on.
It's obviously a joke. I was saying from the perspective of like, if someone came up to you in real life, you wouldn't immediately, you'd be like, oh, I don't know how to react. Except those people, some of them had no shame.
Dude, that fucking lady that said, I think that's a hardship and... why did this happen?
But like,
that
she
literally made
it.
Me cry last night.
Oh my God.
It was like, she,
yeah,
was,
she
being
was
so concerned.
So empathetic, but then also very harsh. At the
so
same
inappropriate.
Time. Wow.
Anyway,
that was
fun times.
Oh, that was good. People are so funny.
They are. And honestly, just to have the sheer balls to do that,
I could never.
You.
Yeah. Well, I have two dog ones. Would you prefer the one, a dog eating with human hands or a dog and his girlfriend? And them just being cute.
A dog and his girlfriend.
Okay, that's really sweet. This had me just like grinning while I was watching it because it was just so cute. And the man should be like a movie narrator.
Harley? Your sleepover?
Okay, you guys asked for it. Here it is. It's the Jack and Marley love story. That's Jack.
You want to get Marley so bad.
And his girlfriend lives next door. Her name is Marley. Most of you know Marley already. But if you haven't met her, this is the same drill every time. It's just the dance is a little different. This
oh my God, she's huge. What the fuck?
Hey, baby girl!
It's pure love. These two dogs are just crazy for each other.
There's a comment says he likes his women tall.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, thanks for waiting for me, Jack. I appreciate it. You ready? Let's go.
It's going to be a great weekend. We've got a lot of fun things planned.
Go.
But always the first on Jack's list is his boat ride. He loves to get on the boat and he's especially loves it.
Oh my
when
God.
He's got his girlfriend Marley with him. He's so proud.
He got up just so he could like match her.
I know.
where she's at.
Isn't that so sweet?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, here's what I have to say. I had no evidence that they are in love. They could just be best friends.
Yeah. No, it could be kind of forcing that. But it's cute regardless.
It is. That was very cute.
Maybe they were keeping it PG.
Short king. Well, anyway, guys, that is it. That's all we've got for you for our first episode of the year. Hopefully that sets the tone.
Hopefully it's on time because I fear that the last two maybe weren't.
You know.
But a lot went into
them. We're doing our best.
We apologize if they were late.
You know, at least we got things up during the holidays.
Yeah, we don't take a break.
Yeah. We got a freaking Patreon bonus episode up on Christmas. So, period.
That's our Patreon manager was like, do you guys ever take a day off? And we're like, no, we don't know what that means.
Text us whenever. It's funny because we'll get asked that from the companies we work with for brand deals, and they'll ask me every year. They're like, okay, so let me know your blackout dates. I'm like,
we don't have them.
None yet. So I'll let you know. But anyway, when you're watching this, I am just getting back from a vacation. So
I just had truly splash in my eye. Oh, sorry.
No. Okay, we gotta go.
I've not gone on vacation, but I'm back
New
here.
York.
Oh no, I thought you. I'm like.
Oh, you mean now?
Yeah.
Oh no, she's home. She's home right now.
I'm home doing nothing. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, if you guys made it to the end, we appreciate you very much. And as always, we hope you had a wonderful week and a wonderful weekend. And we will see you on Monday.
Cheers to 2025, girlies.
Cheers.